Right. I guess I should say good morning to those who may be up on social media platforms that we're streaming to. Hello to Facebook and YouTube. Just winding up the night as we got done doing our live streaming on Black Talk Radio Network. I'm still not doing Black Talk Radio News on a regular basis like I was in 2016, but I will be doing that regular broadcast on Saturday nights, that two-hour program, BTR News from 7 to 9 p.m. Of course, it will be Eastern time. Hope that you will check me out for my first official broadcast of 2017. But tonight, I had some thoughts. I just wanted to get those thoughts down on this story that's coming out of Chicago with these four alleged teens. One of them is like 28 years old, so it's not four teens. It's actually three teens, 18-year-olds. I think there was one 19-year-old and a 28-year-old. So you have a full-fledged adult there, 28 years old. The others below the age, I think, of what the science says upon your brain being fully developed and being able to make good decisions and then also being susceptible. So first and foremost, I must say that is incorrect behavior towards anyone. For any human being to torture another human being, that's wrong. That has to be called out for what it is. Especially on New Abolitionist Radio, we talk about the torture of human beings on the prison plantations, both federal, state, and private prisons, the individuals who get tortured. Matter of fact, on New Abolitionist Radio, we just interviewed George Mallinckrodt, who wrote the book How to Get Away with Murder, A True Story, which is about Darren Rainey, the Florida, no disrespect to him, but it is what it is. He was a slave. He was a slave in this system, like these four people in Chicago about to become. But they trapped him in a shower stall where they controlled the heat, and I think George said that the water would get as hot as 180 degrees, and they literally boiled this man to death. His skin was falling off. Now, Darren Rainey died, but they tortured several other people. So check out the last broadcast of New Abolitionist Radio on Facebook. That they had their own page. Well, we have our own page. So that's New Abolitionist Radio on, that's the Facebook page. It's also in the YouTube archives for Black Talk Radio. So check out that interview. So I talk about torture on a regular basis. So torture is torture, no matter who's doing the torturing and no matter who's getting tortured. There is no gray area for me. And it is just absurd. And it is also sad that we have people debating whether or not this was an act of justice or whether this was right or whether this was justified. You have a disabled person who thought he was with a friend, and this friend is basically like, you know, enticing a child and kidnapping a child. And then you kidnap this individual and then you stream it live on social media. Again, these are children. Let's just call them children. Again, that's evidence right there that they don't make good decisions because they decided to produce some entertainment, like Hollywood style entertainment. All right, so I just want to get that out the way. I'm not making excuses for anybody that commits acts of torture. If you torture another human being, then I feel like you should be prosecuted according to the laws. And let's put it before a jury, or you can plead bargain or whatever. But I hate to say that these young people made a decision that may ruin them for the rest of their lives. They may spend 25 to life a slave on a prison plantation in the United States, okay? And again, when we think about Chicago, Holman, what was that, Holman Square, where you had this secret facility that the Chicago Police Department was using to torture people. So we got to call out torture. Again, it does not matter who's doing it, and it doesn't matter who is being done to. what matters is, did this act produce justice? If it did not produce justice, I don't see how anybody can make excuses for this act, or there be any gray areas for debate. Because if it's not justice, then it's injustice, and we don't want to support injustice. Okay, and I would say it is also racism. Now, I know that there is this debate about, oh, black people can't practice racism and all that, and we say then we start talking about institutional racism. Well, see, there is individual racism and there is institutional racism of the system that was built on slavery, and then to maintain slavery, they came up with racial classification, the invention of white supremacy, and so that is what we have today. That is what we have today. But individuals can practice racism. Now, what is your definition of racism? Well, there are several different definitions. People have their own definitions. But if we go to the dictionary definition, racism is when you believe in the supremacy of one race over another. Never mind the fact that race is a political construct that here in the United States came out of the, 1860 Virginia slave codes, when they first started legislating racial classifications, and that is when it became blacks only could be enslaved. And so, but now that could happen today. I don't want to go off in a tangent into the 13th Amendment, but everybody can become a slave today, like these young people about to become slaves. They really don't know. I don't think we're thinking about the repercussions and the environment they must have been acting off of emotion, as Donald Trump's name was mentioned. So I just wanted to get that out there first and foremost, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm making excuses for this act of injustice. Now, so that we're working on the same definition, okay? Racism. Some might say that's the belief in the supremacy of one race over another. Again, racial classifications, like I've heard Mr. Fuller even say, is racism in itself to even come up with these classifications. Why did they come up with these classifications is the question you should be asking. I already told you, to maintain slavery in this country. Okay, it goes back to colonial law. Now, some other people, and I agree with this definition, I also heard Mr. Fuller say, and I want to play a clip so that there is no confusion about what I'm talking about and the definitions that I'm using. So the definition for racism that I'm going to use, and I'm narrowing it to acts of personal racism, is not, I'm not talking about the system, I'm not talking about systemic racism, which exists. Slavery has always been race-based, which I just got through talking about. But so there's no confusion, you can practice personal racism. Racism, by some people's definition, and I agree with it, is the mistreatment of another human being based on skin color. Okay? Doesn't matter about the political power or any of that. It has to do with, I mistreat someone because of their skin color. So, it really is that simple, and it did not become that simple for me until I heard this clip by Mr. Fuller, that is Neely Fuller, who wrote a compensatory code book, and you could just Google his name, you will find it. But let me play this clip for you, so that just so there's no confusion about where I'm coming from. Let's go ahead and rewind that and fire that up.
No, it really isn't, because see, people are thinking in terms of, well, they want to brag about being black, which means that they are implying that there's something incorrect about being white, even though these are the creations of the Creator. See, and then so everybody gets into this black pride thing or white pride thing, and people immediately start taking sides. It's not about taking sides based on black and white. It's about taking sides based on justice and non-justice, because that's what you're really aiming for. Being black doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. And being white doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice, except you believe in non-justice. And that doesn't make any difference what shade you are, or how tall you are, or who your cousin was, or anything like that, or what so-called nationality you have. Like a lot of people say that they take pride in being an Englishman, or take pride in being a Frenchman, or take pride in being Afrocentric. Well, you're not supposed to be proud of any of those things if you don't believe in justice, because these words mean nothing. No nationality means anything. And waving a flag, if you don't believe in not mistreating people, you've got to believe in not mistreating people, and you've got to believe in helping people that need help the most. Otherwise, you don't even have any business breathing.
Now, that may seem simplistic to some, but that when I was in the military, they said, keep it simple, stupid. Sure, y'all have heard that term before, and it's that simple for me. Justice, I know what justice looks like, and I know what injustice looks like. So I have to call this a act of injustice. What kind of abolitionist would I be to call out all the torture that is going on in America across on the various prison plantations, federal, state, and private? Just straight up torture, solitary confinement daily, people being put in there for decades. That's not to mention the murders and the rapes by guards. And it happens to not only just males, but it happens to females on these prison plantations as well. They're being mistreated. Now that I've gotten past where I stand on this act, let's talk about where do we assign blame to? Who do we assign blame to? Because I don't think we can just put the blame on these four people alone. So I came up with this list. I got about six items on it. I come up with this list. It's called People to Blame for White Disabled Man's Torture. So I'm going to go down the list and give you my thoughts on these different points. Number one, I blame the media. I blame the media for these young people being angry and being mad at white people and because of Donald Trump. I blame Donald Trump, but I blame the media for elevating Donald Trump and giving us Trump 24/7, and Donald Trump was encouraging people that was coming to his rallies and campaign events to attack people. And we saw people get assaulted. So and what that then spread to other people and other acts of terrorism, of white terrorism on black people. So these young people saw that. They saw that just like everybody else saw that. People having emotional reactions. These are children, so they had an emotional reaction. I don't know what you can say about the 28-year-old or the so-called adult, except for how was they raised? What were they influenced? But I blame the media for creating this environment that we see in America of just all-out racism, just the promotion of racism nonstop. Not to say that there's been a time since the invention of television and radio that they haven't been practicing and promoting racism, but they really, really in this age of technology stepped up their game, their propaganda efforts, and they promoted Donald Trump 24/7. Some of these media CEOs even admitted that they was doing it for ratings because it was clickbait for them. It was clickbait, and they making all this money and getting in all this advertisement. So I blame the media and their corporate advertisers. I blame Donald Trump. I blame Donald Trump for the words that came out of his mouth. I blame Donald Trump for the things that he blatantly was promoting. I believe that he's even as much as admitted that he was playing the Southern strategy, which is just another fancy word, a code word for the race card. Okay, so he played the race card with a lot of poor, disenfranchised, especially crackers, like in my area. In the South where I live, crackers refers to poor and working class white people. and a lot of them are racist because they don't have anything else to feel good about themselves. All right, no jobs. You know, he talked about all of this and that, but he really, really promoted racism. And that is how he was able to get an advantage. And he, again, had help from the media. Number three, I blame several people. So they're all under number three. Several people in institutions. So number three, I blame Hillary Clinton, the Clinton campaign, and the DNC for secretly plotting to manipulate media coverage in what their own emails refer to as a Pied Piper strategy, where they talked about elevating people like Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, who is known to be less codified, and blow those same dog whistles that Donald Trump really blew. But I guess Ted Cruz didn't want to go that far that Donald Trump. Donald Trump was no filter. The media didn't put a filter on him. It was 24/7 Trump. But a lot of people don't know because they being distracted with a lot of fake news instead of paying attention to the meat of the news and why this is such a controversy. But you had these emails that showed that they had a Pied Piper strategy to promote people like Donald Trump, because their thinking is that Donald Trump, somebody that's blatantly racist, that would, they would be able to outweigh the baggage of Hillary Clinton. Let me put it that way. That he would be so blatantly unattractive as a candidate. He look at what he's saying and things he said before. He's going to be so racist. It'll be a cakewalk. Let's promote these type of candidates. Let's push the fringes. And this is what the emails say, again, talking about their contacts and their people in the media. You cannot dispute this. They are, in fact, not disputing it. Okay? So, I blame them for elevating Donald Trump. They just didn't think that Donald Trump would win. They did not think that he would be able to mobilize that many poll white crackers and white nationalists and a bunch of racists to vote for him. Okay? So I blame them. I blame them for the 24/7 media coverage. They encouraged their contacts in the media to do it. All right. Now, number five. Wait a minute. I'm not done. Yeah, no. Number four. I'm jumping ahead. The media, again, I blame them again. That's going to be a frequent theme because, like Malcolm X said, the media is the most powerful entity on the face of the planet. It controls the minds of the masses, make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent. They just wasn't able to make Hillary Clinton look that innocent, now were they? So now, you know, they want to call the type of media that myself produce propaganda. So, but number four, I'm blaming the media again, particularly radio stations like Clear Channel, a.k.a. also known as iHeartRadio, big name brand. They had to change their name because of all the negativity that was attached to that other brand. Correction Corporation of America changing their name to Core Civic because of so much dirt and research and connecting them to something negative in society, they just changed their names. So I'm talking about iHeartRadio, formerly known as Clear Channel, and any other corporation that owns radio stations that are flooding the Chicago radio market. This is where this occurred at. With music that promotes misogyny, murder, and all other kind of vile acts and criminal deeds and lack of respect for human beings in general, but lack of respect for black people specifically. And if black people are taught not to have respect for other black people, then they're not going to have respect for themselves. Thus, they're not going to respect the disabled or anybody else. And then we will produce little individuals that will torture other human beings. Okay, so I blame Clear Channel. I blame iHeartRadio. Kathy Hughes, what's the urban market radio programming you got on the airwaves? Okay, y'all, a shout out to Brother Quabana, Russ Sulley, Clear the Airwaves channel. Check them out on Facebook, Clear the Airwaves channel. He's been on a guest on Black Talk Radio News before. So I blame them for promoting this type of mentality that devalues human beings. I also blame, and I'm putting this in the media, but it really should be the federal government, but the Federal Communications Commission, which has failed not only to protect the youth in the Chicago market, but all the communities in the so-called urban markets that are the targets of this destructive programming. Again, this is what we call murder music. We say turn off the killer radio stations. I also blame McDonald's, according to Clear the Airwaves channel. The Clear the Airwaves project. I'm sorry, it's Clear the Airwaves project. According to them, McDonald's is the number one advertiser on these killer radio stations that's pumping all this murder music into the minds of these individuals in Chicago that now would commit such an act to torture another human being. I mean, the music is telling them to kill other black people, to blow people's faces off, and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, come on. All right. So I blame the FCC for not doing its job in regulating the public airways. I ain't talking about internet. I ain't talking about satellite. I'm talking about antenna radio, the kind that come in your car. Okay, not digital radio. I'm talking about the kind that's where these companies have to get a license from the FCC, which means that they are under these, supposed to be under these community standards rules of obscene music and that type of content. It has not, I can't think of a time it's ever been enforced since I really became involved in this type of work. I would say since 2008 is when I really started paying attention to these type of issues. So I blame the outgoing Obama administration. I don't know who the new chairman of the FCC is going to be, but this is something that needs to be brought up in any kind of confirmation hearings. Let me see. Number five, I blame the adults and the elders in the communities that failed to protect young people from falling under the influence of this murder music that devalues human life to the point that they would go out and emulate the behavior that has been programmed into them. And it's not just through this murder music, but it is also through Hollywood movies that glorify murder on the battlefield. What was the American Sniper in those type of movie that glorifies violence? I mean, it just permeates this society. What do you expect? What do you expect? Nobody should be shocked. Nobody should be acting like they so confused. And how did this happen? You know how it happened. Okay. But I blame the communities for not standing up to their politicians in demanding that this filth be taken off the airways. I blame you for continuing to patronize businesses that advertise on killer radio stations that's programming our young people, that's programming adults even, to engage in this self-destructive behavior that dehumanizes us all. All right, so the community, we have to take a responsibility. All right, we're not boycotting, and nobody's really turning out to those boycotts in Chicago that Clear the Airwaves project has been having, okay, to point out all of this program, and it's called programming for a reason, people. All right, and last but not least, I blame Jason Van Dyke, the Jason Van Dykes of the nation. Jason Van Dyke is the cop who is being charged, the former slave catcher who is being charged with first degree murder in the murder of Americans. And I say again, of Americans like Laquan McDonald. And I blame all the cities and the towns like Chicago for attempting to cover up these crimes and to create the kind of hate that Malcolm X talked about, that hate produced. So those were just my thoughts. Again, I'm not really doing a regular broadcast of BTR News anymore, but from time to time after I produce other people's programs, I just have things I have to get off my mind and get out there. But regular broadcasts will be Saturday nights, 2-hour program, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. If you want to rehash this issue, make your points, you can do so. But until then, look, it's been a busy day for Black Talk Radio Network, and it is time for me to wind down. Peace and blessings to all. Practice justice, not racism.